1-2 is swung on, hit high in the air, down the line and right, deep, and this one is gone! A home run for Adam Frazier! He's 3-for-3 tonight, and he's 8-for-9 in the series. Home run number 4, the Pirates lead 5-0.
1-1 to Hayward. Deep center, playable for Marte, and the Pirates win. Cubs get a run in the ninth, but fall short. 5-1 the final. So a 1-4 start to the road trip.
Cap and Company right here on ESPN 1000.
Thanks, Cubs!
I don't know your nice.
That's right, Jason Benetti. Enjoy it, kid. Got an ace going to the hill tonight for the White Sox and Dylan Cease. Cubs will go with Yu Darvish to try and get out of the malaise that has them in a 20-27 run. 20-27. Ain't a small sample size, folks. With Edzo, I'm Cap. Felix Reyes, Chris Black are at the controls. The Cubs are, as Leo, you put it, Edzo, mired in a little difficulty. And they better make some really tough decisions here before they decide to add on, look in the mirror and go, can this team win? Can we really win with this team? Because if we can't, then what the hell are we doing?
Did we not sit here 15 months ago and you supposedly put me in my place when I suggested that you can't keep everybody? You might have to think about moving Schwarber, Happ, Russell to improve in other areas. The biggest thing and the most important thing any organization in town, and speaking from experience, is what you have to do is assess who and what your players are before the rest of the league does. Mm-hmm. And listening yesterday and listening to Jesse talk about there is no market for Schwarber. You couldn't give those guys away, I think, is the verbiage that he used.
Yeah, I disagree with him on Schwarber. I completely agree on Russell.
Right, but you'd be selling very, very, very low right now.
Correct.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Where the market for them was a little bit earlier. So I think getting back to what you were talking about, Cap, this is dire times right now.
Dire.
And I think there's plenty of blame to go around.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point here, I think a line has to be drawn in the sand on what do you do. Now, they are in a division where you win two or three, you might have a two-game lead because the division is, what, average at best right now?
Average. You had last night, the Cardinals lose again, the Brewers lose again. I mean, if the Cubs had if the Brewers or Cardinals had played decent baseball over the last 47 games.
They probably have a 5-game lead.
Minimum. Right. The Cubs would be up the track. Right. They're lucky they're one game back.
Right. Well, they're not. So there's still an opportunity, but there's a lot of, for me as a fan, there's plenty of concern up and down the lineup. Pirates are pretty good.
They are.
And can I ask you, and I was in with you last week, and I suggested at some point, what's the kid for Atlanta that just owns the Cubs right now?
Ozzy Albies.
Okay. I suggested maybe you just decide to put up four fingers and go, you know what? This guy's not going to beat us. I'm going to put him on. Small sample size? Okay. If you want to say that, whatever. But he's batting like 7,000 against you.
Yeah.
And Joe Frazier, the last two games for the Pittsburgh Pirates, also known as Adam.
Yeah. I knew it.
I mean, are you going to at least say he's not going to beat us? I don't know, Cap. Don't tell me I'm stupid because I hate that word. Tell me I'm not smart. That's okay. But am I wrong for suggesting this guy is not going to put a bat on the ball and we're going to avoid him getting extra base hits and putting the game out of reach like he did last night? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that mindset? Did Joe not walk Bryce Harper a couple years ago? Now, maybe these guys aren't Bryce Harper, but if you look at the average and what they're doing, They're putting a hurt on the team.
Big time.
Would you not think about avoiding his bat? Now, the Pirates are hitting the ball around the yard right now.
They are.
They're playing really well.
They're pitching well. They're hitting well.
I know you don't want to put people on, but why? This guy, see, every time he's on, he goes right to second base.
It's unbelievable.
So do you think that that's wrong to suggest that?
No, when a guy's in the middle of an 8-for-9 run, I would probably at some point go, guys, let him get himself out or put him on base. I'm not doing this. Right now, he is hotter than a depot stove. It is what it is. But holy smokes. I mean, just, you get the rain delay last night, you come back, you got Mike Montgomery come in the other night, first pitch he throws, gets hit 9 miles, Josh Bell hits 3 homers, they get Frazier 8-for-9. I mean, holy smokes. Brutal. Brutal. But again, you know, everyone's tweeting at me going, trade for Whit Merrifield. I love Whit Merrifield. I watch a lot of baseball in other cities. He's a stud. But are you overpaying for a 30-year-old center fielder slash second baseman?
Do you think you can win? That's the question, Cap.
Right.
That's the question for our listeners. Can this team win with making a major move? Is that the only way that they can win?
Well,
and I'm not saying get into the playoffs. I'm saying a World Series. Getting to the World Series, they have to make a major move in order to get to the World Series. Would you agree with that?
100%. As currently constructed, they have no shot. As currently constructed. No shot. So when, as you like to call them, Fed, Theo and Jed, sit in their office and look at the whiteboard and look at the roster and look at their team, they have to be able to, and then these are smart guys, they will have to look and go, okay, if we drop, pick the guy into our lineup that we can acquire, can we win a World Series? And if your answer is nope, not good enough, then what are you doing? Don't give away assets to be decent.
That's fair.
Like the Yankees in 2016, Hal Steinbrenner, I think it was Hank or Hal, one of the brothers who runs the team, son of George, said Brian Cashman came to him in early July and said, this team is not going to make the playoffs. And if it found a way to get there, we have no chance to win the World Series. And that's what we're in it for. I am going to trade Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman and Carlos Beltran.
Right.
And I'm going to move them for whatever I can get. And we're going to rebuild. And Steinbrenner said, no shot. That's not what the Yankees do. He said, and Brian came to me the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And finally, I said, you really believe this is the right thing to do? He said, no, I know it's the right thing to do. He said, all right, do it. And he goes, we got Gleyber Torres. Right. He's going to be a 10-time All-Star. Yeah. They made a great trade with Cleveland, got 4 guys.
Right. Well, you have to get the blessing, obviously, of ownership, and you have to consider your fan base as well. It's like, look, you're selling the future, and it ends up being a quick turnaround for the Yankees, right?
Correct.
A real quick one. A quick
They've
fix.
Already been back in the playoffs.
Right.
They almost got to the World Series in 17.
Right.
And boom, here they are with the best team in baseball and depth. So, look, it's a tough pill to swallow if that's where they go. But 312-332-3776. As currently constructed, do you believe the Cubs can win the World Series? If your answer is no, then the next question is, well, what trade can we make? Realistic, I don't mean Mike Montgomery for Mike Trout. What trade can you make? And then can that team win it? I'm not sure there's a deal they can make, realistic deal, that gets them where they want to go.
Cap, you said an interesting word a couple minutes ago. You said rebuild in reference to the Yankees. I don't know if that's the way to look at it anymore in baseball.
Maybe they retool.
Yeah, retool. Because I feel like, don't you guys kind of agree, the championship window for the Cubs, we can see the end coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you retool as it's open, then it just prolongs what you have. Because the Yankees are the perfect example. all of those young prospects that they got for the pieces they sold off a couple years ago are now why they are so good right now.
Correct.
And so, like, I don't know if it's necessarily a negative. It may be a negative for the short term in this one season, but if you can sell off some pieces and get back some good, talented young players, some good prospects, that might prolong this championship window that you have.
So, Edzo, you were a NHL exec, head coach, worked with the front office. They were going through a rebuild at that time.
Yeah.
It's tough for the manager to have to deal, or the head coach, because he shows up and he doesn't feel like he has the best chance, but it's the best thing long term. If you were sitting in Theo and Jed's shoes, you follow the Cubs as close as anybody. Can this team, either A, as currently constructed, or B, with any kind of realistic deal they could make, good enough to win?
Win a division, yes. Win a round in the playoffs if their starting pitching gets healthy. Very possible. I'm a little concerned about the offense.
I'm more than a little concerned.
Okay, all right, I'm a little concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Win the World Series, no.
Yeah, I don't see any scenario where they could win a World Series.
Now, is that acceptable? To Chris's point, I guess, Chris, the window right now, it's closing a tad just because of what's around the corner with guys' contracts expiring and what have you.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. They're still a talented team, but like we kind of see an end date, right? 2021.
Right.
Now, do you want to continue this going forward? You need more young, talented players.
Right.
Because this young core that you had that won the championship,
right,
they're starting to get a little bit older, and you don't want a roster of 28, 29, 30, 30-plus players.
Right.
You want the young talent. That's why the Braves, the Dodgers, the Yankees, that's why they're so successful now.
Right. What about, or on the other side of that, Chris, the window's open, and we're going to go for it.
Yeah, and just hold on.
And just and go and look, we feel we got a good enough staff, we got a good enough team. We're going to add. We're going to this window is now, and we're going to do whatever we can to win as many World Series as we can in the next couple of years, right? I think it's either or. Cuz I think if you stay status quo in the middle, yeah, you might win the division, you might make the playoffs. But I think everybody would agree, as constructed right now, probably not good enough when you look at the other teams in Major League Baseball to win. Not win the play, make the playoffs. Just win.
Okay.
Win the World Series.
So, okay, so let me ask you a question. Because I'm not at the point where I would start selling players. I'm not. It's July, what, 3rd. By the way, happy birthday to our son Garrett. 26th.
Attaboy, G.
If you look at this team and you go, all right, we can tinker, we can get a left-handed reliever in here, what could you do with the current construction of players on your roster to be better? Because you're not getting enough offense. Albert Almora Jr. looks awful. Awful.
Okay, go back to Almora two nights ago.
You're talking about the play in the first inning?
The first inning. Can I just...
Edzo, you're going to make Cap yell again.
That's okay.
He was yelling yesterday in the meeting about this, the showboating behind the back.
Right. So you know what? How does that stop? How does the lack of focus eventually stop?
You don't play him.
Or you pull him.
Correct. I'm not saying I need him to go out on the field, Joe, and go get off the field.
No. He comes in after the inning's over and
you're
says... You're done. Is that not a message sent
to everybody?
Discipline?
Agreed.
Now, is it easier to do that to Almora? To a guy that's got 100 games compared to, say, if Rizzo makes a bad running play decision on the base pads, somebody gets thrown out. Who got picked off last night?
Hayward?
Okay.
You know, they make more outs on the bases than any team in baseball.
Yes. So, like, that is an attention getter, without a doubt. If I'm a player and I see that happen, I think that top button is snapped up.
Yeah.
A little bit more, right? Now, mm-hmm. you can say it in a meeting. You could do whatever. Coaches, managers, you don't like to embarrass players. I get it. But you know what? Sometimes when players make mistakes, coaches in all sports, probably more so other than baseball, where guys get pulled or guys get benched, guys sit there for making bad plays or selfish plays or lack of focus type of plays. Well, that to me would have been a perfect place to sit there and go, we're not sitting there playing Harlem Globetrotters in center field. That's it. You're done. Just you're done for the rest of the night.
Yep. Take a seat.
That's it.
Agreed. Let's go to Steve in New Hampshire. Steve, welcome to ESPN 1000, Sparky.
What's up, Steve?
Steve, you there, bud?
Good morning. Yes, I'm here.
What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. I feel like I've been in a funeral the last few days. I think I want to get your thoughts, but I think the Cubs have finally been exposed. And unfortunately, this championship window is gone. And I don't believe we can win another World Series with Theo, Jed, and Madman. I think they got lucky in 16. It's a shame they couldn't parlay that into a few more years.
Well, that team was not lucky. They won 103 games. You don't luck into 103 wins. So I disagree with you there.
Well, but they weren't lucky, but it's a shame that they had five supposed superstars, Contreras, Baez, Rizzo, Bryant, maybe four, and only one of them has improved. And they were all under, maybe Rizzo was 25 then, but they were all under 25, and only one of those four supposed superstars, and that's Baez, has improved. Well,
Rizzo's having the best year of his career, so.
No, he's not. His batting average is .267. How is that the best year of his career?
He's on pace to hit more home runs than he's hit. He'll drive in 100, and he'll probably end up finishing somewhere around .280. So, he's an outstanding player.
Yeah. He is outstanding, but is he an A+? No. How come he can't bat .330, right? He's never batted .330. So I guess my whole point is, I think Theo got in love with some different saber metrics. And Schwarber, by the way, was the fifth guy, and he's been horrendous. But Theo hasn't been able to realize, 2 years ago, everybody knew they needed a leadoff man. Everybody knew Schwarber had value, could have got somebody in return to ship to the AL. And he just stood there with his saber metrics and said, hey, we're young, we're going to get better. And they haven't. So I want to hear your thoughts. Do we think Theo and company can really, in the next few years, keep this thing going, or have they been exposed?
Thanks, Steve, man. Look, he's very honest and I think very fair on a lot of his points. Chris Bryant, I love Chris Bryant. He's a great kid.
Is he the fourth best player on this team?
Certainly the third best.
Well, is Baez number one?
Yes.
Yes. Rizzo?
Two.
Contreras?
Maybe three.
Maybe three. So who's the other maybe three? Bryant. Okay.
Hamels or Lester?
We're talking offense.
We'll probably just take the pitchers out of it. You think that that's... Would you get an argument there?
No.
No argument with Baez and Rizzo 1-2 on this team?
No. Absolutely not.
You think you get more three for Contreras or more three for Bryant?
That's a great question. It would be close. It'd be very close.
Right now, you would say Contreras 3, Brighton 4?
Offensively?
Player.
As a player.
Player.
Yeah.
With the defense that Contreras brings, my opinion, he keeps the other team honest, mm-hmm. which I think is helpful, mm-hmm. regardless if he may have some blemishes. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a blemish. Mm-hmm. I would go 3-4. I'd go Contreras 3, Brighton 4.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with you. I wouldn't argue. I look at Chris, and everyone's like, boy, can we keep him? Is he going to get $350 million? He's not a $350 million player right now. Maybe he'll get there, but we haven't seen that guy since 2016. This is 2019.
Right.
16 homers, 40-some RBIs.
42, I think.
Hitting .206, I think, or .205 with men in scoring. That's not an MVP-caliber player. Good player, yes. Elite Mike Trout-level superstar? No shot. We'll take a quick timeout. Every line's lit. We'll get to this. We're going to talk about Dylan Cease making his major league debut today for the White Sox. Thanks, Cubs! So It's a good day for the White Sox today. They get a doubleheader with the Tigers, and they get Dylan Cease out there. They sold 1,000 more tickets for that game. Walk up. It's really cool. So we'll get into all of this. 312-332-3776. ESPN.
You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
I don't think there's some sort of fatal flaw at all in the clubhouse. I just think if we're being honest about it, you know, as John Lester said, maybe this will be good for us. Because if you just show up playing it cool, knowing you're talented, knowing it's a long season, and trusting that the talent will manifest over the course of 162, sometimes you end up one game short.
1-1 to Hayward. Deep center, playable for Marte, and the Pirates win. Cubs get a run in the ninth, but fall short. 5-1 the final. A 1-4 start to the road trip.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Thanks, Cubs! Go get him, big Jason Benetti. It's Dylan Cease Day here in Chicago. Sox are going to enjoy that. Go into the 4th of July knowing they've got another piece of their rotation. Like, things are looking up on the South Side, man.
Big time.
It just is. You know, they'll get Louis Robert here probably next season, if not September. They're going to spend some money.
Got to get healthy.
They got to get their pitching healthy. Rodon and Kopech and Dane Dunning and all these different guys have got to get healthy. Like, they've
Anderson,
got a ways
Moncada,
to go.
Yeah, just get those guys back on some firm ground there when it comes to the health aspect of it.
100%. So, we will... We're looking forward to watching that game today when Dylan Cease pitches for the Chicago White Sox. We are talking Cubs right now. Jesse's going to join us in a couple of minutes. Let's see. Eddie's in Norwood Park. He's first. Hey, Eddie, what's going on, Sparkles?
Hey, guys. Just a couple of points in that caller that said that the Cubs got lucky in 2016. They did.
Okay.
When the odds for them to come back and win that World Series, when they had a half cripple guy come in and do them runs, comparing to the Sox run when they swept the World Series, I think they managed the Sox better than the Cubs. They didn't have to dump 100 games 2 years in a row to get draft picks, and that's how hard it is to win back-to-back, but they did get lucky no matter what their record was.
That's,
all right, guys.
Eddie,
have a good day.
Eddie. Thanks, Eddie.
Yeah.
That's a bad take, kid.
Well, wait a second. It's not bad. You need a little bit of luck.
Well, everybody, you need puck luck. The Blackhawks got lucky that a puck went off of Andrew Shaw's shin pads.
Okay.
But
nothing wrong with having a little luck. You
got
to make your own luck.
Yeah. They won 103 freaking games.
They were a great team. They were a great team.
Yeah.
Edzo, we have the take grader over here. I mean,
you're damn right. I came in ready to arm for bear today.
What does that mean?
Pissed off at how this team's
don't
playing.
You usually bear arms?
Yeah, that's the way.
Bears?
Yeah, all right. Arm a bear. Okay.
I mean, I look so forward to baseball. Love baseball. Watch it in multiple cities. I watch every White Sox game, but I've never hidden the fact that my team is the Cubs. I bleed freaking blue. And that team sucks right now. Terrible. Flat. And I just don't know if they can snap out of it. I mean, wow. From 16, and you go, boy, they got pieces, they got the farm, they got all this. And now we're looking at going, well, those
boy,
guys
you've really
no-
changed your tune in a matter of a year, I'll tell you that. Because you sat across from me, these same chairs we sat in the last year, and I asked you that question, which I touched on at the top of the show. This team needs more. You are going to have to move bodies off of this roster. You cannot keep everybody. You can't worry about the depth when you have holes in other areas where you can plug in. Like, and here we are a year later.
Yeah. Like, this is the golden age of Cubs baseball. And I have enjoyed the heck out of 97 wins, 103 wins, 92 wins, 95. Enjoyed the heck out of it. But I want more. I don't want to be the 85 Bears.
You're not the only one.
They're the 85 Bears right now.
See, Cap, this is exactly why last season I kept saying to you it's early, because I didn't understand why some Cub fans, I'm not saying you, but some are happy-go-lucky because you got a championship in 2016. This doesn't last forever. You have to get as many as you can while you're good.
Agreed.
And that's why I started saying it's early, because it's like, wake up, people. You're supposed to care.
Right.
Don't just be happy with 2016. Want more.
Yeah.
But especially when the window is open.
Right. 100%.
And it's not that. Look at you could compare a lot of what's going on now, or is going on right now with the Cubs.
To the Hawks.
To the Hawks. Now, look at, they've won three championships.
That's the difference.
And I think the frustrating part from within and outside is that window is still open. It has been open the last couple of years, and they haven't been able to take advantage with the core, with the Kane, with the Taves, with the Keith type of players, with Crawford. I know he's been banged up, but they've won three championships, and they think they probably should have won four.
Right.
Or five.
Yeah, the L.A. game killed them.
Right, right. But that's going to happen.
Right.
But they put themselves in a position to do that. The last couple of years, not so much. They haven't won a playoff game in 3 years. Now with the Cubs, they've won one.
They haven't won a playoff game in 4 years.
Okay. No. Well, three playoffs. Hawks won. They lost in seven to St. Louis. Then they got swept by Nashville.
And then they didn't make it the last 2 years.
I know. That's the last 3 years they haven't won a playoff game.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
Right.
So, but with the Cubs, the window is there, right? Mm-hmm. Because of what's down the road when it comes to the contractual part.
Yep, 100% agree. Is Jesse ready to roll?
Yeah, he finally woke up. Here he is.
All right, Jesse Rogers joins us now here on ESPN 1000. We'll get back to more of these calls.
Jesse!
Hey, good morning, boys. How we doing?
What's up in the burg, Jess? What's going on? You see any Olchek jerseys anywhere? No? Any Olchek jerseys in Pittsburgh?
I did go by the arena. What do they call that arena now, Edzo?
The Igloo?
Oh, no, that's called the PPG Paints Arena.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Have I been away from hockey that long?
Yeah.
No Edzo jersey.
Yeah, exactly. My jersey's hanging up at the OTB by the airport. That's about it. So.
Exactly. No, everything's good except for the Cubs. You know, I'm doing okay. They're not.
Oh, man. Jesse, look, I said to start the show to Edzo, Theo and Jed, or as Eddie likes to call them, Fed, have to sit in their office, look at their whiteboard with all the names on it, and go, okay, guys, first of all, who do we have that we could trade to bring in what we feel we need? Another bat, a left-handed reliever, this, that, whatever the case may be. Well, we don't really have a lot at the big league level that we'd like to part with, so we got to go to the minor leagues. Well, we don't want to, as Jim Bowden said yesterday on this show, Nico Horner and Miguel Amaya are untouchable. Elite prospects, cannot trade them. Okay, so if you
that's his opinion.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, all right.
And so if he's accurate, then you don't have a lot of options here to go improve your roster. So the next question is, as currently constructed, can this team contend for a World Series? My answer is no. Where do you?
I mean, it certainly doesn't feel that way. You know, when they were 23-7, what were we saying? You know, we're always a prisoner of the moment, but it doesn't feel that way. Certainly, the way things are going. Obviously, we talked yesterday. You could switch managers. That's always a ploy. You know, teams try. I guess you didn't mention Alzolay. That could be your trade chip. You know, I don't know what Bowden thinks of him, but that would be your one trade chip. Trading from your pitching staff in general could be a trade chip. But, you know, as soon as you ever trade a pitcher, you got to replace him. McCamels goes down, and already you're feeling a little bit more thin. And Hendricks just comes back, and he can't go that long, although he said he felt 100% afterwards. The point is, there's probably not a lot of fixes. You probably have the wherewithal to make, like, one trade. I say you go for that leadoff guy and just put all your eggs in that basket and see if that helps the offense. And, I mean, how much more money and assets can you put in your pitching staff? You're spending a ton of money. You just added another guy in Kimbrel. I don't think Joe's using him right. I've been on record about that for a while. We can continue to talk about Brandon Kinsler till the cows come home, and I don't know why he's not using him in the correct situations. Do you realize, sorry about the tangent here, do you realize, since Brandon Kinsler, look at his numbers. Great against lefties, great against righties, striking out guys, not walking guys, seven double play balls as a reliever, great ERA, stranding runners. I don't know what more he can do. Dylan Maples has pitched three times since the last time Brandon Kinsler pitched. Rowan Wick two times. Mike Montgomery two times since the last time Brandon Kinsler pitched, which was last Thursday. So I don't think Joe's handling things well back there at all.
Is he banged up, Jesse? Is he banged up? Is that why he's not pitching?
Kinsler, no, he's not banged up. He pitched last Thursday. He definitely was down on Friday, so I will say he should not have pitched there.
Right.
But from Saturday on, he could have pitched. And there are moments in all of these games, even when they lost 18-5 two nights ago, guys, it was 7-4 at one point. There are moments in all of these games. You know I watch every inning.
Yeah.
There are moments he could have deployed guys in a different spot, starting with Brandon Kinsler. I feel like a broken record to you, Cap, but I don't know what more you can do. Usually Joe overuses his relievers. That's usually the criticism. I don't think he does that.
Jess. So where? Why is there any communication from up top down to Joe to say, you know what? You got to start getting this guy in the games. Like, why aren't you using the guy? If that's indeed what's going on here with him not getting the ball here in the last, whatever it is, 5-6 days.
That's a great question. Here's what I can tell you, Edzo. One day earlier, and I know you're a Mike Montgomery guy, Edzo. One day earlier, Jed Hoyer sat in the Cubs dugout. We was talking about the needs, getting a lefty reliever, and he went down the lefties they have. He said, "Well, we've used Kyle Ryan a lot, and Mike Montgomery isn't really a situational lefty on lefty guy." One day later, with two outs, first and third, 2-0, right after the rain delay, Joe goes to Mike Montgomery. Adam Frazier, the hottest hitter on the team, hits a 3-run home run. Game, set, match. So if Jed's not saying it privately, he said it publicly. Mike Montgomery is not a lefty-on-lefty specialist, and he uses him exactly in that moment, in the biggest moment of that game, because 5-0 is a lot different than 2-0. So I don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but I don't want my best reliever sitting for almost a week while I'm hemorrhaging games. So, Cap, it's partly personnel. It's partly on Joe, certainly on the players. We keep talking about this daily. And so you've been around enough teams. When you're losing, there's enough blame to go around. It's not just one guy. But I'll put Joe front and center, right there with Jed and Theo, and right there with the players.
Okay, so where is this thing headed? Because we're going to have Rizzo on at 11. They are now 20-27 the last 47 games. Your article today is very intriguing. I read it upstairs. They have back-to-back meetings, and Ozzie Guillen said to me yesterday, "Kid, there are good teams, and there are teams that have meetings."
Right.
And
I think
this team right now looks awful in all aspects. The other night, Edzo called it when we started the show. I screamed at Bleck yesterday in our meeting about it, not at him, about this play. Base hit to center to lead off the bottom of the first by Babe Ruth, Frazier. And Albert Almora tries to go behind his back. Kicks it away. It ends up a double. Got a man at second and nobody out. And Edzo
said,
when that inning ended, if he had been the manager, he would have walked up to Almora and said, "Lackadaisical, you're done for the night. Send a freaking message."
Well, you may not be wrong because, and Edzo, you know this as well, once you've done the meeting thing, where do you go from there?
Right.
And that's why you use those sparingly because, and I wrote it, like after you do the meeting and you keep losing, Then what? So I think it was a little coincidental. I don't know if the players knew Joe was going to have his annual All-Star break meeting yesterday. So the players had one Monday. Wasn't anything too over the top, but just to reiterate things from spring training, I think really the position players have to get on the same page. You see sort of the disjointed way this offense has performed this year. So they have a meeting Monday. Joe has a meeting Tuesday. So it looks a little, you know, like it's overkill, but Joe always has a meeting around the All-Star break. He only has two meetings a year. So his meeting was scheduled. The players' meeting was sort of impromptu, but you're not wrong, Cap. You have a players' meeting, you come out, Almora makes that mistake, he makes a mistake on the base pass, Schwarber makes an overthrow. Then the next day, the manager has a meeting, and two innings into the game, one of your best guys on the team for all this stuff, Jason Hayward, gets picked off first base. So whatever was said didn't seem. Now, we know meetings don't necessarily have an immediate effect on the game that night. You know how that is. You can have a great meeting and still lose that night. But the point is, are the bigger issues for this team going to get through to them? Are these meetings going to matter in the long run? We'll find out. But I'm not against what you're saying. Joe's talked about the velvet hammer and the sledgehammer. And Edzo, you're a head coach. Sometimes you pat him on the back.
Yeah,
sometimes
right.
You kick him in the butt.
Right.
Joe's done a lot of velvet hammering right now. He might need to use a sledgehammer because It's not getting through to these guys. They're making outs on the base paths all over the place and not playing good baseball.
Before we let you go, Jess, your thoughts. I know you talked about Hendricks feeling 100%. What were your thoughts on a short outing last night because of the rain?
Yeah, it reminded me of what he would have done in a rehab start. You know, 50, 60, 70 pitches.
Might end up working out good, right, Jess? It might end up working out good for him, just with the aspect of how it played out, right?
He was about to come out anyway, and it knocked Musgrove out, who was pitching well.
Right.
Of course, the Cubs didn't do anything against the Pirate relievers. So, yeah, it almost was a rain-shortened rehab start for him. He's likely to start Sunday in the All-Star break, you know, first-half finale, and be fine. So the question is, when they come back, who takes Hamels' place? Is it Chatwood or Azulai? Hamels, decent news, but he'll probably be out till I would say, August 1st. You know, it's probably a month injury, but not much longer than that. So Hendricks back in, Hamels out. Who takes his place? It's either Azulai or Chatwood when they come out of the break.
Hey, man, any other nuggets as we roll?
No, I don't think so. They made their moves yesterday. They called up Randy Rosario, another lefty. They could have gone to him instead of Mike Montgomery, for that matter. So they still have a 14-man pitching staff, and they're playing short on the bench. But as you can see nightly, they pretty much need a 14-man staff and Daniel Descalso at times to pitch. So it's a weird setup right now. They're not playing well. The roster's goofy. They got to get to this break and then regroup. We'll see.
Hey, man.
Thanks, pal.
Great. By the way, Jesse,
yeah.
I want you to ask Joe Maddon about putting Contreras in left field some. He played in 2016. I think he started 26 games in left field. Get another bat in the lineup. His bat and Caratini's.
That's not bad. I will ask him that. And by the way, he is thinking of jumbling some of those names at the top of the order or middle of the order, whatever the case may be. So keep an eye on the lineup. I'll ask him about Contreras.
Is Rizzo going to lead off tonight or what? Is that where you're going or what?
We ask him at 11. I don't know. It's a good question. It sounded like he might do something. I asked him about moving Hayward up to one or two just to ride that bat a little bit. He said no, five or six for him. But maybe Rizzo's going up there. Ask him at 11. I'll be listening.
All right, man.
Thanks,
maybe
Jess.
Bryant. Have a good
Take
day.
Take care,
Thank you, Jesse.
See you, Jesse.
All right, there's our guy, Jesse Rogers. 312-332-3776. Dylan Cease. I got a lot of friends who bought tickets to go to the game today. They're going to tailgate outside Guaranteed Rate.
Double dip.
They get a double game. They get two of them. They're at no work tomorrow, so there's going to be a lot of fun to be had. Are you, as a Sox fan, like totally jacked for this? Kind of wait and see. Where are you that Dylan Cease is coming up? Because this kid's a stud. We had Chris Getz on this show maybe 6 weeks ago. He said, if I had to bet on one prospect in our entire system other than Aloy, he said I'd bet on Dylan Cease over all of them. Your thoughts, 312-332-3776. It's ESPN.
Coming up at noon, it's Carmen and Yurko. Double dip on the south side as the White Sox host the Tigers. And in the first game, the much-anticipated debut of Dylan Cease. Frank Thomas will join us to talk White Sox.
And I'm talking Cubs, Carmen. I'm trying to figure out exactly. Sylvie's slapping his couch. Kaplan doesn't know if it's go time or if there's plenty of time left. I just want to see better baseball on the north side. That's all I ask for.
The countdown to Bears training camp continues as we're into July. Tips for having a healthy and safe 4th of July from the
tips.
Good Kid.
You
and the latest
tips.
On NBA free agency. We'll see you at noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Hey, Yurk, let me make it clear to you, kid. I speak the truth. They're in a crisis situation at the corner of Clark and Addison. While the White Sox are trending in an upward direction, the Cubs, unfortunately, trending in a downward direction. 312-332-3776 is our phone number.
Thanks, Cubs!
Yeah, thanks. Benetti. Jay in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. What's up, Jay?
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Capo. Hey, before I get to my Cubs rant, the daily Cubs rant, Capo. Hey, Enzo, congratulations on your health.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Very happy for you.
Thank you.
Also, I called into Yurko and Quorum yesterday. Us P1s that are not outside of Chicago. We're outside of Chicago. If there's any way you guys can tweet us how we can donate to JD's cause and Silvano, please do that, Cap.
You got it.
Yeah, we would love to do that, okay?
You got it.
So that's the serious side. Let's get to some nonsense here with the Cubs. You know what? Talking to you, listened to you guys earlier, talking to you guys now. look, we're four players away. That's not even close, okay, with no assets in our farm system, barely any that we don't want to trade. The last thing I want to see is if we're one player away, like Chapman is 16, you know what? That meant the world to me. That meant the world to you guys, all the Cubby Blue fans. That made our life. All if you have to sell the farm to get that one player to do it, awesome. But what we did selling off for Q, a.k.a. Johnny, what's it, Buick Regal, I think you call him.
Jose Quintana.
Yeah, Johnny, we'll call him Buick Regal on your note. Mm-hmm. He's not an S550. We cannot do that this year. And if I see Theo selling off the farm, the little stuff we have, just to even try to make it to the playoffs and get destroyed by the Dodgers or whatever, that's not worth it, man. Let's listen. I want to ask you, Cap, let's take a year off, regroup. We got some salary cap relief coming. Let's just take a red shirt year and regroup as a Cubs fan. I want to ask your opinion on that. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Sir.
Appreciate it, Jay. Look, I don't get paid to make that decision in their room. I get to paid to give my opinion. Mm-hmm. My opinion is they don't have the assets to trade to get what I think they need to win the World Series. Now, Rizzo's been hitting, whatever, 200 for the last three, 4 weeks. He's been struggling. We can have the guys pull the numbers up, but what he is over the last 30 days or so is not the Anthony that we saw when he was hitting almost 290. I think Chris Bryant is a better player than he showed. He looks terrible right now at the plate. But what bothers me the most about this team is, and teams that don't score look flat. They're trying. It's not like they're not hustling. But it's errors in the field, base running mistakes. Jesse mentioned last night, they have a team meeting, let's clean stuff up, and Hayward gets picked off of first. Al Moore can't go first to third on a base hit the other day and comes off the bag and he gets nailed. It's like every day it's something else that costs them a game.
Is that on the players, do you think? Your opinion. I know what I think because I've lived both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
You think that type of stuff is on the players or is it on Joe?
I think it's a two-pronged answer for me. You coached in the NHL, so you can give me your opinion. I think that when they have a team meeting and Jason Hayward gets picked off of first, or they have a team meeting and another guy gets picked off going with a stupid base running play around second, and nothing's done to hold them accountable, right. It's on the player for getting picked off. It's on the manager for not holding them accountable.
You see some things because we have thousands of cameras now in stadiums, right, mm-hmm. for all sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think there has to come a time where a veteran guy has to be the one that says enough is enough when it comes to those type of plays. And I know it's hard when a guy like Hayward gets picked off like that. The guy knows. The guy knows he made a mistake. But I think there's something, too, besides the manager. And look, I said it earlier, Cap, when Almora did what he did in game one of this series against the Pirates in that first inning, trying to go around the back and get the ball in, and he muffed it, it would have put his rear end right on the bench. The manager has that ability to do that.
Right.
Well, geez, if that guy's going to be, nonchalant, well, then that's going to be a trickle-down effect, right? If there is no accountability. And I'm sure there is accountability, but when it keeps the same mistakes keep happening over and over and over, and you run yourself out of innings or you give outs to the opponent, how is it going to stop? But what I'm getting at is I always knew as a player that if I did something selfish or if I made a dumb play or I took a dumb penalty, besides my coach being in my ear, I probably had five or six guys on my backside. That's just the way that it is. There's something for peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
There's something for a older guy grabbing a guy. Whether it's, you're not going to grab a guy if it happens one time. If it happens a couple of times, maybe you grab the guy. Maybe it's a guy that has some cachet, and it's a setup. Hey, look, Cap, I'm gonna call you out. But just know this is for the betterment of the team, not necessarily I'm trying to embarrass you. right? You give the guy a heads up, and you're on the same team, and nobody needs to know. But you got to try to figure this out because it's been happening way too much.
Real quick, let's grab Joe in Vernon Hills. Hey, Joe, what's up, man?
Where's Joe?
Glad you're doing there, bud? Well.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, fire away because we're up against a break.
Okay. So, Eddie, just want to say I'm glad you're doing well.
Thanks,
I went
man.
Through it with my wife. I know the emotion.
Oh, God bless you.
So, the Cubs, I agree, Cap. It's sort of a crisis mode, but here's the key. The rest of this week and the 2 weeks after the All-Star break, we'll see what they're made of. Look, every team goes into a slump. The best teams in the history of baseball went into some type of slump. So they have a lot of good, still
Joe,
really
Joe,
young, great
this, Joe, this is not a slump. It's 47 games. They're seven under going into tonight. That's not a slump. A slump's a bad 10 days.
Yeah, and don't forget the second half of last season as well, Joe.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? I mean, let's just say I think the next 3 weeks will be the key to their whole season.
Well, we're going to see.
That's fair.
Agreed. Joe, thanks, man. We got a break. 312-332-3776. We're talking baseball. Are you going out to the Dillon Cease game today? Hey, Northwestern football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Don't miss your chance to win Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall. Number 17, Northwestern hosts Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan State, and more. Season single game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. With that, Zoe, I'm Cap. Be right back.